In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From A Quick Poem by Adam Zagajewski. I was listening to Gregorian chants in a speeding car on a highway in France. The trees rushed past. Monks' voices sang praises to an unseen God at dawn in a chapel trembling with cold. Domine exaudi orationem meam, male voices pleaded calmly, as if salvation were just growing in the garden. Where was I going? Where was the sun hiding? My life lay tattered on both sides of the road, brittle as a paper map. With the sweet monks, I made my way toward the clouds, deep blue, heavy, dense, toward the future, the abyss, gulping hard tears of hail, far from dawn, far from home. If you read the most recent issue of St. Luke's Gazette carefully, you might have recognized the words of this poem, mentioned fleetingly in the suggested summer reading. Zagajewski's Quick Poem is one which I return to often, and was the first thought which sprang into my mind as I thought about the readings before us today, with special reference to both the words of the psalmist and the Apostle Paul. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, the infamous 2 Corinthians, speaks of a mystical experience which brought him unspeakable joy. But no sooner had Paul begun to absorb the full weight of this vision, one which he coyly speaks of in the third person, "I knew a man," then was he given a thorn in the flesh to temper his joy. We do not have time today here to parse what Paul means by this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan. But complexities aside, I think if we cut through the esoteric language of this text, we find a universal human experience at the center of living a life of faith. Paul here is caught between the joys of a glimpse of heaven and the trials of our present earth, between an increasingly distant memory of deep spiritual fulfillment and blinding pain which seeks to take away this life-giving memory in exchange for a gritty fatigue of the reality before him. In my experience, one of the primary difficulties of living a life of faith are the long gaps present between those precious moments of clarity in which we see how clearly God loves us, when we hear distinctly God's still small voice reassuring us in our hearts. Those gaps stretch on and on at times. And if your life of faith resembles anything like mine, these moments feel increasingly distant the more I feel I need to hear them, to have them. And in the moments when life presses in like this and the view of our salvation feels dim, we say with the psalmist, "To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens." The simplicity of this gesture of looking up perfectly captures our experience and yet feels woefully inadequate to meet or solve our deepest need. Again, from the poem, "Lord, hear our prayer, as if salvation were just growing in the garden." How often do we feel as if God does not hear? How often do we feel as if God does not see our need? And this realization is made even more painful by the memories of redemption's past. How often does it feel as if our sustained pleas of, "Lord, hear our prayer," feel all the more futile against the memory of prayers answered in the past? In saying this, I do not intend to be bleak. I simply intend to be honest. This was Paul's experience of faith, the mighty Apostle Paul. This is my experience of faith so often. I know that it is, in some way or another, a shared experience for many of us here today. And it is into these gaps in the journey, this tension between heaven and earth, that the words are spoken to us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made strong in weakness." Grace is a light which burns brightest when all other lights fail us. For it is in those moments when we are assured that our help comes not from our own agency or our own merit, but from a love which has loved us from time immemorial and love us long past our journey's end. God's grace is sufficient because, as Paul reminded us in Romans 8 last week, we are held by a love which is present and triumphant even in the face of death and loss, in the face of pain and sorrow. God's grace was supremely sufficient in the broken body of Christ upon the cross for us. In spite of the soldiers, in spite of the political might, in spite of the mockery and the pain, because there was absolutely nothing, in spite of that moment, that would prevent the dawn of Easter morning. My friends, I cannot promise you easy answers in the midst of this tension between our present earth and our glimpses of heaven. Easy answers did not come for Paul. He asked three times for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. Deliverance did not come as he expected or he hoped. They did not come for the psalmist, for he had more than enough of contempt. They have not come for me at times. But I can promise you that grace will be present, whether we can see it or not. It will be made perfect in our weakness. It may not come in the way we ask it to, but it will, without fail, enter into our deepest need with us. It will find us, no matter the depths, no matter the darkness. So then continue to lift your eyes then and strain to see it. It will meet you there. And so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shows us his mercy. Amen.